all you jazz hustlers, you stone foxes, you mean dudes, watch out. The Godfather of Harlem is doing it again. There's only one stud who could rip off New York, ruin Rome, and stay alive to run a number in Africa.
Like stealing candy from a baby.
Super strong, supernatural, and
the baddest cat that ever walked the earth.
Damn, brother, you have become one violent dude.
I might not be the baddest man in the world, but I'm in the top two, and my father is getting old.
But that would be podcast four, presented by Sam Sugar. Sugarbank.com production brought to you with the support of WestBud.com.
His business is pleasure. He sells the soft stuff.
Rated R. It's nasty.
Hello, I'm Sam Sugar, and welcome to Podnography Show 4. In this week's show, we have a summary of the last week at Fleshbot, a review of the Soccer Girl podcast, and an interview with actress, model, and web tricks extraordinaire Nikki Fritz. This week's show is longer than usual, so let me know what you think at podnography@gmail.com. I hope you enjoy what we have for you. Let's go. As usual, let's start the show by taking a look at a few highlights from the past week at Fleshbot. Fleshbot turned us on to the new HBO documentary Katie Morgan, A Porn Star Revealed this week. It premiered on August 24th, but don't worry, it's a sex show on HBO and it'll be repeated until the end of time. Most people don't realise that HBO's documentary unit actually gets better viewing figures than its story drama department, responsible for The Sopranos and The Wire. That's mainly because HBO documentaries tend to be socumentaries, best watched with a bowl of warm water and a tube of lubricant to hand. At least that's what I do. Even if you don't watch the show, you should read the synopsis. The quotes from Katie Morgan are priceless. Example 1. My mother and father don't know what I do for a living. They do now, Katie. And my favourite, on acting in her first Scud flick, Dirty Debutantes 197, which is a vast improvement on 196, by the way. It was quick and fun and money, Katie said, adding that she remembers thinking at the time, this could be a really bad thing. I really like this. Let's face the facts. Anyone who follows up this could be a really bad thing with I really like this is going to end up either in porn or the military. Then later in the show, she clarifies her position by saying, we're not all nympho sluts on drugs. For the most part, we're pretty normal. Now that's a statement I can absolutely stand behind. I know for a fact Katie Morgan has never touched any drugs. Fleshbot also took time to point us at Entertainment Weekly's list of most embarrassing sex scenes. From a magazine that should spell its name with an EA in place of EE, it was a pretty accurate list. The only major omission was the worst sex scene of all time, Angelina Jolie and Ethan Hawke in Taking Lives. Not only is any enjoyment of Angelina's body ruined by the presence of Ethan Hawke, who to me looks like a cross between Screech from Head of the Class and Gandalf, but it's also responsible for revealing to the world that Angelina has average-sized, very floppy boobs. Floppy. There's no other word for them. Obviously, like anyone, I'd take Cambodian citizenship and wear clothes from Baby Gap if it increased the chances of Angelina mistaking me for Maddox and putting her breasts into my mouth. But even if that happened, it would be a limited pleasure. There's no getting around it. What Taking Lives proves is that Angelina Jolie, the hottest actress working today, has tits which are fours. On the web front, Fleshbot found Bite Size Sex, which is a sex blog. Really, the world doesn't need another blog stuffed with links to girly pics. If you can't out-Fleshbot Fleshbot, and you're not a hot librarian like Viv from Viv Sex Carnival, go home. This one does a pretty good job with the links, though, and is most fun because it's written by an unreconstructed pornophile who says things like, blondes are a dime a dozen, but high heels really push it over the top, right? And Li Chen or Chi Len or whatever, I'm bad with Asian names. I'm not bad with Asian girls, though. Thank God for that. It reads like a sex blog written by the pervy neighbor or Family Guy. diggity diggity diggity. PhonePer, Fleshbot explained, is a program that allows you to control the vibration of someone else's phone from the other side of the planet. It sounds like a cute sex toy, but raises an important question. Is rubbing your junk against your phone in public more discreet than conventional phone sex? The answer is no, and it pretty much dooms this business model. However, if you've lost your phone, you're pretty kinky, and there's a slim possibility that you might have lost it up your ass, this is going to make finding and passing that phone a whole lot easier. Finally, Fleshbot pointed us towards Nisa, a San Francisco native who, since being raped on the porn set of a director she doesn't name but who includes vomit in his movies and copious pissing, has been into drinking piss. She's probably not the same Nisa who was featured in Max Hardcore's Extreme Schoolgirls No. 3, but if she was, why didn't she call the police? Anyway, it all sounds like a perfectly normal, perfectly healthy reaction to the situation, and Nisa's now into drinking the urine of strangers, and appears to have taken a drink from the fountain of the guy who did the interview. She says she's turned on by doing things that most girlfriends wouldn't. I don't believe it. Even from someone who demands you top them up with lemonade, and I'm sure there's a more technical phrase for it, but I can't be bothered to Google for it, I bet, at her core, she's still a girl. I can imagine the following conversation. Her. I don't think you respect me. You. Because I pissed in your mouth? Her. No, because you didn't call me on Tuesday. You. Don't get pissy. Even if that's not true, I don't get how water sports work. If you're a guy, and you're turned on, taking a leak is almost impossible. Therefore, water sports only work if you're not really into them. And if that's true, what's the point? So they were my five faves from the week at Fleshbot. Check in with fleshbot.com daily for a detailed philosophical investigation of the world of filth.
I'm ready to shoot now. My cock is ready. I want to fuck. Let's go.
Welcome back to the Left-Handed Review. We took a break last week, but now we're back, badder than ever, and, well, you know, fully badass. When I first started talking about podnography, i.e. the sex podcast genre, not this show, I wondered out loud where all the good sexy podcasts were. Now there are a few, and I'm going to start telling you where to find the ones that you might have missed. This week, Soccer Girl Incorporated.
Soccer Girl Incorporated. August 05. Bitch naked, y'all. Can I get an amen? I feel Jesus inside me. He's making me wet.
Mama, there was a girl at school who was talking about having Jesus inside her. Isn't Jesus inside everyone?
Well, if a little blasphemy in the intro isn't enough to turn you onto Soccer Girl, what else is there? Well, Soccer Girl is a 25-year-old woman with a hot voice and a predilection for showing her boobs in public. It's a predictably hot combination, even if radio exhibitionism is the dumbest thing since radio ventriloquism or radio card tricks. Soccer Girl redeems herself entirely on her website, though, a place that it's hard to leave without full knowledge of the weight, heft, and texture of her mama snacks. If you're listening to this at work and can't visit her website right now, I'll describe her breasts for you. They're about the size of large apples, think Red Delicious, non-organic. She has flat tan nipples, the color of a Ferrari's seats, and each one is about the size of the area covered by one of the feet on a Barney the Dinosaur toy. These are topped off with compact nipples, which naturally and optimistically point out slightly at each side. My detailed examination has determined that everything is 100% natural, and I'm sure you'll enjoy them. Of course, if that description's not enough, she also sells posters featuring her tits through her website. Despite recognizing the marketing opportunity that represents, I can assure you that however big this pornography thing gets, I will never sell pictures of my junk online. If you want freebies via email, of course, just write to pornography@gmail.com, and I will do things with a digital camera that result in pictures so nasty they could cause you trouble at customs. Describing Soccer Girl's content is next to impossible. She talks about all sorts of things, frequently while wet and naked in her bathcast shows. She used to be a phone sex operator and seems to have been pretty good at it.
First, I wanted to address an issue that was raised on the message board about how I used to be a phone sex operator. And it's true. I did used to be a phone sex operator for about 3 days when I was 18 in Boston. Like, I was in a little cubicle, just like everybody else, and I had a binder that had instructions, or mostly just suggestions, about things I could say. Little, like starters, you know, like, oh, yeah, baby, I'm so wet for you. Or, like, your hard cock just makes me want to come so bad. Like, just little phrases that maybe in the heat of the moment I might forget or choke, or like I would get nervous or whatever, and I could just look in this binder and figure stuff out. So yeah, somebody would say to me, I have a call for you on line 8, he wants a young girl or something, which I was anyway, so it wasn't a stretch. And so then I would just pretend to be like all little, and I'd be like, hello, oh hi, how are you, my name's Cindy, what did you do today? And you know, and then eventually I'd be like, your cock is so huge. It's gonna hurt my little hole. No, ow, stop. Ow, you're hurting me, Big Daddy. Or they might say, this is a girl on line 10. She wants you to dominate her. So I'd answer the phone, and I'd ask her name, and I would say, what are you wearing, bitch? And then she'd be like, I'm wearing this now. I'd be like, take off your fucking shirt. I want to see your tits. Do it fucking now. Don't make me pull you down to your knees by your hair like I did last time. I don't want to hurt you, sweetheart. But I will if you don't obey me. Do it! Anyway, yeah, stuff like that. It was fun for a little while, but pretty quickly I just got too grossed out.
There's a lot of personal stuff in her show, which, disappointingly for many, I'm sure, frequently features her boyfriend. I imagine that in person she never actually shuts up, but I don't either, and I'm gorgeous and everybody loves me. In a nutshell, Soccer Girl is well worth checking out. It's a pretty fly-on-the-wall look at a young New Yorker's life, and this New Yorker happens to be an exhibitionist with a nice rack. It's also littered with stuff like this.
Maybe I'm just all warm and fuzzy from the chicken blood. Botar. My love. We should pretend we're having sex in here so Ryan hears it and he gets jealous. Ready? Okay. Touch my pussy now. All right, ready? Ready? Fuck me. Fuck me. Do it. Do it so that I can make noise. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that feels so good. Ah. Yeah. Oh. Oh, yeah, listeners. Yeah. Fuck me. Fuck me. Okay, I can't do that anymore. It's embarrassing.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we are proud to announce the motion picture debut of America's most talented, most beautiful, most exciting, most glamorous female superstar. She's sweet.
This is a giant cock.
She's sexy.
I know what you want to, and you're gonna get it.
She's courageous.
All your friends are dead. Well, I killed them all.
She's outrageous.
You want me to crawl? You want to spit on me and make me crawl?
A mean kind of super chick. The godmother of them all.
This week's interviewee is Nikki Fritz, a legend in the world of late-night TV and erotic thrillers. How else could you describe a woman who made her debut as Girl in Corvette in 80s classic Spring Break, played S&M Hooker in Smokey and the Bandit 3, and who still looks good enough to make a living getting naked? Cooler still, she's a closet geek and the force behind a number of websites going all the way back to 1996. I spoke to Nikki earlier this week, and if you're wondering why this interview runs a little longer than usual, there are three reasons. One, it's my show, and what I say goes. Two, editing is boring and takes too much time. Three, how long are you prepared to wait for an appearance by Johnny Depp's balls? Well, that's all I'm saying. Over to Nikki and me.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. And I do know that you're driving your car right now, so please be careful.
I will. If you hear a horn honk and a big crash, you'll know I wasn't that careful.
Exactly. And I'll be guilty for the rest of my life and probably have to run off to a monastery somewhere and forever pay a penny.
I was going to say, I'm speaking to somebody from England, I might drive on the wrong side of the road.
You know, I do that. I do do that. When I'm in the States, sometimes if the streets are deserted, I'll just turn onto the wrong side of the road, and it can be very worrying. That's not to say that I'm a complete idiot. In case anybody doesn't know me, I'm not actually as stupid as that sounds.
You're not a complete idiot just halfway, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a balance. It's all about balance, Nikki. So, for people who aren't familiar with, you know, your background and the stuff that you've done, and you've done quite a lot, and I'm sure actually there are a lot of people who don't think they know you, who've probably seen you on TV and stuff. But
right.
How long have you been in working in the adult field, and kind of how did things start for you?
Well, it's weird that you say adult, because I don't consider myself adult, but I guess it is. I guess with soft core, it's not even soft porn, it's soft core, we consider it adult. I guess so, huh? If you're naked.
Yeah, well, I'm talking, yeah, I guess I'm talking about boobs, really. I mean,
I have two of those, my goodness.
You do. And what fine examples of the kind they are.
Thank you.
But, you know, as a Euro myself, and for people who don't know, Euro is just about $2. But as a Euro, boobs aren't that shocking. But certainly in the States, if you appear naked publicly, you are considered to be of a different kind. Of course, unless you're Heather Graham.
A different breed. I'm a different breed.
Yeah, you are. You're a stronger type. Unless you reach a certain level of fame where it kind of all goes out of the window and it doesn't matter.
Right.
But
I've been in the business, oh my God, forever. I did my first movie when I was 17 years old. I did this movie called Spring Break, which here in the States, every 35 or 40 year old man out there has seen the movie Spring Break. And that's where I got my start. It was the first time I got naked on film.
What was the name of your character?
Girl in Corvette. I didn't even have a name, but they paid me really well. And the producer, director, Sean Cunningham, who actually produced that show, used me for a whole bunch of stuff. So it was kind of a nice start. And then after that, I came to California to become a big famous movie star. That was a joke. I ended up working for Roger Corman, and he gave me my first starring role in a B-movie, which, you know, was a blast. It was called, I can't remember the title.
It was
It's on my website.
It was Roger Corman. We can probably make it up.
Where Evil Lies, that's it, because he's in all the horror stuff.
That's not bad
Where
for
evil
Roger Corman.
Lies.
I was going to say, I was going to suggest something with the word lava in it. You know, like hot shit
from
the planet. Yeah, but you jumped straight. I mean, your first job, you were nude, and you weren't in LA.
Right.
What part of the country were you in?
I was in Florida. I worked a couple of films in Florida because it was the spring break attitude down there. They shot a lot of spring break movies. This is, you know, I hate to even say it, but it's like the 80s, the late 80s,
uh-huh.
early 90s. And then, you know, once you get a taste of the bug, of course, you know, I think that every girl that does the B-movie genre like I do,
uh-huh.
never walk in planning to do B-movies all of their life.
Yeah.
We figured that's a stepping stone and it's going to make us big famous movie stars and this will pay the rent for a while. But you know, it's not how it always works out.
No, it can be hit or miss. I mean, and it depends on, to be honest with you, I think for people who do B-movies, the more successful you are in B-movies, the harder it is. Because, look, I mean, Demi Moore is a classic example. She was doing...
Oh, I know.
You know, if Demi Moore had been a more successful nude model, she wouldn't be Demi Moore.
Right.
You know, so...
That's true.
Yeah, so...
Sharon Stone came from the same field.
Exactly. And Sharon Stone's career was nowhere. So it's... And even in different kind of... In different formats. I mean, you know, I've had dealings with... there are people in the adult industry. I was thinking specifically of Danny Ash. But, you know, Danny
right.
Ash had a modeling career. But if she had been the biggest model in America, which she wasn't before she started in her business, she probably wouldn't have been able to get her business off the ground in the way she did. Because
right.
more people would have kind of put in a category or put her in a box.
Well, I think she was lucky back then. I mean, having a good career, everybody knew who she was one thing, but she hit her website, was it in 96 she built it?
Yeah, it was.
Because I put mine up in 96, so, you know, and of course mine was just a homemade, me sitting on the floor with the computer kind of feel, putting it all together, trying to learn what the hell HTML meant, and coding everything. And it's like, since my website's been around since 96, it's incredibly strong. I mean, it's not a multi-million dollar like Danny's is, but it's done well. It's done really well, and it still continues to be well.
Do you make, I mean, we're jumping around, but that's okay. Jumping around with beautiful women. That should be a subtitle of the show. With boob. You've got to stop that. I'm trying to focus, and I'll just be sitting here going, I'll be typing boobs into Google, just subliminally.
See who comes up.
Yeah, me would be the answer to that, but moving
on. Oh, yeah, thing.
Yeah, nasty, eh? But with the accent, I think I can get away with it, even if I can't. But,
exactly, you can.
But is the majority of your income coming from your website at this point?
Yes, it has for years.
That's cool.
You know, it's enabled me to be more particular about the movies I'll do, because I've toned down a lot of the movies that I've done and just kind of, you know, picked the bigger ones, which there aren't that many of them, so... It allows me to sit back and eat bonbons and lay out by the pool and, you know, take a movie a year if I want to.
Well, this is,
or not.
And this is exactly where my question was going way back, is that you did a couple of movies in Florida, and then you said you got naked for the first time in spring break. So how did, because I speak to and I get emails from people who are kind of considering taking that step. And, you know, they're also considering, I mean, it's amazing what people assume. I get a lot of emails from people who say, I'm going to do some porn movies and then I'm going to do Playboy, you know, and you go, well,
you can't. Playboy won't touch them.
Yeah, you can't do that. But there are a lot of people who do see kind of following your kind of career path as a dream. But when you first considered getting naked, I mean, how did you come to it? Had you been naked in public before? Had you worked as a stripper? Were you a nun?
I had worked as a stripper for a couple of years, and is that how they found me? I had this agent, because I wanted to be an actress even back, you know, as long as I can remember.
Uh-huh.
And I had an agent who wasn't getting me any work at all, and she kept trying to get me to do Playboy. And I'm just like, oh, my God, I would love to do Playboy. But, of course, my photos weren't accepted. Playboy, I hate you. But she ended up getting me this, because, you know, once you get naked for somebody once, and I did some nude photographs with this photographer in the hopes of getting submitted to Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
So once that happened, this agent could only see me that way.
Yeah.
So she started sending me out of castings where the character was required to get naked. So, I don't know, for me back at, you know, I was so young, for me back in those days, I just, whatever's put in front of me, I'm like, okay, I didn't know, I trusted my agent, so that's, you know, and it's not that that's a bad thing, I'm really glad that she did this for me, because I've had a really great time doing it. It's been fun, it's been lucrative, and, you know, I'll probably keep on doing it until someone tells me to please stop.
which we'll never hear. Guys,
I hope not. I hope I stop before they demand that I do. I hope so.
It's hard work, though. I mean,
being skinny is difficult.
Exactly. And you're in incredible shape. I'm looking at your website right
Thank
now.
Thank you.
I mean, and I've been lucky enough to be standing in a room with you, but you spend a lot of time in the gym?
Yeah, I do Taibo with Billy Blanks. It's my main source of of exercise.
Well, that's how you see, and then again, that's just such a Hollywood beautiful women thing. You don't do Tai Bo, you do Tai Bo with Billy Blanks. In fact, you could have said, Billy Blanks didn't have any Tai Bo thing until I said I'd really like a workout, and then Billy Blanks went home and thought, wow, I get to spend an afternoon sweating in a room with Nikki Fritz, so I better come up with something.
He's really nice, too. I mean, I guess he must be a B-movie fan, because the first time I went there, he's just like, I know you. And I'm like, I'm here to work out. Leave me the hell alone. But now we're friends, so it's kind of cool.
But everyone's nice to you, Nikki. I mean, I have friends who are beautiful women, and they constantly say, you know, my car ran out of gas and I had no money, but the guy in the gas station just said, take the gas. And it was, you know, people are so kind. And you
think, well, especially when you have boobs.
Exactly. The theme of the year is boobs. Well, you've had a breast augmentation, right?
Yes. And they're perfect and they're beautiful and I love them.
So you'd do the same thing again?
Well, Spring Break is that the only movie? It's the only movie I have out where it was natural.
That will sell out now. People will go to Amazon and
it's
fill.
Really hard to find. It was so in the 80s, it was difficult to find. And when you see it, you won't recognize me, but you'll hear the voice. My voice is my voice. It's kind of my trademark. So you hear this deeper voice on this little tiny girl. I think, was I 16 or 17 at the time?
Wow.
I don't remember. I was just a pumpkin. Yeah.
You can't have been 16 and naked in a movie in America.
I was stripping at 16. You know, yes,
so
you can.
Are you telling me?
I was the courts declared me emancipated from my parents when I was 16, which made me an adult.
Oh, my
God.
I'm not even sure we should broadcast this. So you were underage and naked in the movie Spring Break.
Exactly. But I had, you know, I was considered an adult by the courts. So like, I worked as a stripper. I worked in a topless bar.
Wow.
I mean, there was a lot of places I could work. I wasn't allowed to drink alcohol, but I could work as a nude entertainer.
That is so... I mean, I don't, you know, I think nudity is a wonderful thing, especially if people look like you who are nude. But,
Please.
How can I compliment you? Your life is a string. It must be a string of compliments, especially from, you know, bizarre loser men. But it's that's the laughter of, oh yeah, that's true. But that's mind-blowing to me that you were under 18 when you're in that movie.
And
I mean, that's the kind of thing I think most people will recognize you, especially, you know, if they don't know who you are immediately. Most people will recognize you as being that person they've seen on HBO or on Cinemax.
Right. Well, I've done, oh my God, over 100 pieces of work now. From, you know, from Spring Break to, I did a series for Cinemax called Nightcap that was, I think they're re-airing it again right now on Cinemax, and it's, that was such a great series. It was myself and Kim Yates and, oh my God, you're testing me here. I'll remember her name in a minute. The three of us owned this bar called Quench. And it was all the trouble we got into. It was always a boyfriend or a guy in the bar or something. There was always something. There was this entire series, the three of us, at least two girls an episode got laid by somebody, and there was some kind of drama over something. Tawny McClure, that was her name. Tawny McClure, this is the three of us. So that was a good series. You know, I've done a lot of work for Roger Corman. I've done a ton of work for Mainline Releasing. I've done a ton of work for Charlie Band, which is... he did a movie called Beach Babes from Beyond, and he was pretty famous for his bizarre outer space movies with girls with boobs flying in from outer space.
Do you get more work because you've had a boob job?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There, you know, and there's the one director I work for all the time, Jim Wynorski, he did The Bear Wench Project, which is one of the main movies I've done. There's actually part 5 is out right now.
Wow.
He will not, and I've referred girls to him that are stunning and beautiful, and, you know, you and I know a few in common that have natural breasts. He will not hire them. Will absolutely not hire them if they're natural.
That's
you know, and they could be the most beautiful woman in the world, but if they have natural breasts, he won't touch them.
That's
good for me, bad for them.
Yeah, and have you? I mean, again, being in the industry, I mean, you and I both know and could name, but won't, people with really horrendous surgeries and people you kind of want to cry for because you think, oh my God,
I see it all the time. Well, I see it all the time. There's no reason that should be. I mean, if your boobs are messed up, they have reconstructive surgery where they can be fixed. There isn't anything out there that can't be fixed. You know, but these women go out and they want these bargain basement boob jobs, and they fly off to Texas and get them done for $100, and you know, they come back to California and you get what you pay for. I mean, you know, these girls go back to work too soon, and if you're going to show them for a living,
yeah,
it's kind of like your car. If your car, if you drive around for work, shouldn't you have the best transportation there is? I mean, if your boobs are going to get you in the door, at least have them look nice if you're going to show them off.
If your boobs are going to break down the door, then they need
exactly
to be professionally upholstered. So, have you had more than one surgery?
Yes, I've had four of them.
And have they been corrective or to kind of change size or
to corrective. You know, the first one I got, of course, I went for the bargain basement. I flew to Arizona for this middle of the night boob job and came back, and you know, after they settled, a few months after they settled, it's just they weren't the look I was looking for.
Uh-huh.
I wanted something a little more natural and a little softer to the touch, because I wanted them to jiggle around like real ones. That to me was really important. So it took me, you know, four surgeries and delicate surgeries to just, like, fine-tune them.
And if you were, I mean, because this is something that I'm not very qualified to, I mean, my advice for most women as far as breasts go is that because getting a really great boob job first time out is really, really rare, from what I've heard, because everyone I know like you has had a number of surgeries. And the other thing is, they're expensive, as you said. And if you're doing it first time out and you work in Dairy Queen, and you can't afford to fix it, then you can be stuck. So, I mean, my advice is generally, don't do it, you know, especially if you've got nice breasts to begin with. And that's something obviously that,
yeah, but even look at a girl that's 21 years old who has natural, nice breasts. When she's 25, they're not going to look so great anymore. It's gravity. It's natural that a woman's breasts start to go down or not be as full. So, I don't know. I love breast augmentation. I think that, you know, there's a time in a woman's life where she probably needs it.
So
if she wants to have that youthful look.
So what would you say if someone was asking you right now, I want to get a boob job done, where do I go, how much do I spend, what question
do
I ask, what would you say?
I had the best doctor in the world. His name is Dr. Villicana, Villicana. He's in Arcadia, which is in California,
uh-huh,
and he does most of the Penthouse and Playboy girls.
Okay.
And he's been around for 15, 20 years. And he's fabulous.
And how much would a Villicana breast job cost?
I think he's charging $7,000 or $8,000 right now.
Okay.
But he's the one that made mine perfect.
And if you go to Nikki's website, you can just spend the afternoon working out whether you think she's right or not. But,
you can see them on my second page, and they're perfect, aren't they? They're perky little things.
They are. You do have a spectacular boob job. In fact, the only thing I could compare your breast to, the only breasts I've seen like yours that I could think that you're Czech. From you know, just pictures of your breasts alone, because either the best breast surgeon in the world is working in the Czech Republic secretly, or
I've heard that there's somebody good over there.
You know, there is one. Again, it's like gossip, but there's one Czech model who I've met a couple of times, and I'm sure you have, who swears blind she's got natural breasts, but I can't believe it. They're so kind of, you know, perfectly formed.
Perfect.
And the problem is every time I try and kind of test them myself by grabbing them, she shuts the window or calls the police or drives her car away. You know, so
or sends her dog after you.
She sends her dog after me. Or, you know, her boyfriend comes back into the room, you know, or I run out of duct tape.
With a shotgun.
Yeah, exactly. So there's no way I can find these things out. So
that's funny.
But would you, just to kind of cap this off, because this is excellent information. The other thing is, most people are aware that you can kind of, there are a number of ways of doing breast jobs. You like, you know, the armpits underneath, through the nipple. If someone looks at your boobs and says, oh my God, I want Nikki Fritz's boobs, Obviously, she can't have them, or he in that case. But what would you say is the best way of, I mean, what should they be asking for? Should they be saying under the muscle, under the skin, you know, through the belly button?
I've got a formula for it. They need to be silicone, and all this stuff about silicone being dangerous, I don't believe a word of it. It's fine.
Yeah.
They have to be silicone. That's the key. I mean, no matter how you put them in or where you put them in, it's silicone that makes the difference. Silicone feels real.
Got it.
You know, the saline, the water, the saline ones are a bag filled with water, and the bag is so thick that it ripples, and it doesn't feel natural. It feels like, you know, it feels like a piece of plastic in there. It's really awful.
Yeah.
So silicone is really thin and just pliable, and it just feels like a natural breast.
This is great. This is, you know, and I should really be getting some kind of referral bonus, but thank you for...
Well, that is, as far as like doing the B-movies and stuff, you know, any chance you get, be an extra on a set. If you're an extra somewhere and a director sees that you have a nice body or whatever, then you're going to get hired more and more and more. So don't be shy to start at the bottom of the ladder and work your way up.
But the other thing that, you know, with no exaggeration, is that everyone who falls into your category, who's successful and has had a career, has two character traits that people don't assume. While one is obvious and one is less obvious, one is you're smart. And all of the women I know who've been really successful in the kind of adult world per se are smart. Because they have to be. And the second thing is you're beautiful from the neck up, because being beautiful from the neck down is easy, because it's just gym time, you know. And as you said, you can go to the gym and you can have surgery. But having a beautiful face, which is what ultimately is going to get you the parts in those movies, is, you know, is given to you by Zimu, if you're a Scientologist, or, you know, God or Jehovah, or whoever you happen to be.
Or your parents.
Or your parents.
Your parents.
Yeah, your adopted parents. But, so, I mean, it's not, I don't think it's something that anybody can do. You know, you do have a particular combination of, you know, beauty, brains, and body that brings it all together.
Oh, thank you.
Wow, you know, what can
I say? It's been fun, and I've been fortunate, that's for sure.
Now you spend a lot of time helping other people with their websites. As you said, your website went up in 96, which is really early. I mean, Playboy only went online in 94, and they were about the first of any kind of magazine. So what's your, you said you're doing far less movies now. What is your day? What's your life?
Oh, my God. I wake up at probably 4 in the morning, and I hit the email, and then I, you know, start updating all the websites that I do. I do myself. I do Justine Jolie. I do TheBearWench.com. I do JonathanMorgan.com. I mean, there's so many of them. I'm getting ready to pick up. There's an adult film star named Tiffany Taylor, not to be confused with the Playmate. It's the porno girl. I'm in the middle of building hers right now, and it's a lot of work. So I spend, God, you know, 14, 17 hours a day in front of the computer.
And how much, when you say you do the websites, because some people will assume that you've got a staff of people doing things for you, I mean, what are you actually doing? Are you coding the pages? Are you doing the graphic design? Or are you kind of more managerial?
I do both. I do mainly the coding, the building, and the marketing. I can design. I suck at it. I'm the worst designer you've ever seen. But at least I know what works on the internet. So, you know, the girl can pretty much, you know, tell me what she wants, and I'll steal it off another page, and then I'll make it work for her. But, you know, but it's okay to have the homegrown design, because the guys like it, because these websites are run by the girls. I mean, even though I put the websites up for them and I technically keep things running, it's still the girl's website, and it's her input, and she's the one that's seeing the email, and she's the one that's autographing the photos, and she's the one that says what goes where. So, you know, not to be confused with it's a staff working for these girls. It's their site, and they have total hands-on. I'm just helping them out.
And when you started your website, there wasn't really the kind of web industry that exists today. You know, nowadays, right. If someone says, I want to run a website, there are 1,000 people who say that they're web designers or webmasters and whatever.
Right.
Do you find that being a woman makes it easier to handle websites for other women in the industry? Because
I think so. I think so. Because I've had mine for so long, and I've made the mistakes already about, you know, what I thought would be really cool. Mm-hmm. It's not always about what's really cool. It's more about marketing. I mean, a guy that sits in Ohio, and he's running off an old system, say a Windows 95 system, mm-hmm. off a dial-up network, he can only see so much. So if you have all these fancy things popping and video playing and all that, he can't see anything.
Yeah.
So I build things more because I've made those mistakes before. I've gotten the terrible emails of guys who are like, your site sucks and it's broken because nothing plays, when it's a fact that his bandwidth can't handle it or his computer CPU can't handle it. So I build things more user-friendly, so they're really simple to navigate. You don't have to be a genius to figure out how to see all the photos and video. And it's easy to download. I mean, I think that's more important than the fancy bells or whistles. I mean, I don't think men give a shit about, you know, if this pretty flower is popping open and making a sound. I don't think they care. I think they more care about the content.
Absolutely. And I mean, the way that guys use adult websites, I mean, I've spent some time doing this myself, and, you know, they've timed exactly how long it takes their wife to get to the garage, get the car out of the garage, drive to the store. Pick up
it's like
milk,
Justine has a panic
back.
Button on hers. Yeah, if your boss or your wife walks in, you hit the panic button and it takes you to some stupid text that's written up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You need that ejector seat because these are rush priorities. But going on a slight tangent, the other question that I wanted to ask you, or the other thing that I want to ask you about, and feel free to tell me to go and take a running jump, but as someone who is in the public eye, you in various ways, certainly your on camera persona is someone who is, you know, endlessly sexual, very attractive, hot chick. Per se, how have you found that that's affected your relationships? Because when a guy meets you, he probably already thinks he knows you, in a way.
Well, that's the one thing I've learned in all the millions of acting classes that I've taken, is you have to bring yourself to the role. So the character you see me play is me. I mean, that's just me. So that's what I think that most people hire me for, is my certain personality. You know, they know my personality, so they put me in the roles that would suit my personality. You know, the tomboy that still got boobs and, you know, and likes to date around. And, you know, that's just me. So what you see is what you get.
You know, part of the teenage boy inside me would love to believe that, but it's just too good to be true. But but I'm sure, you know, people like that aren't supposed to exist. But do you find it's difficult to balance a personal life with being naked in public?
No, I don't. It's not a problem at all. I'm really good about time managing, so. No, it's fine. I mean, the people that I date, you know, they know me from, you know, usually from the movies, and then we get to know each other, and they realize that I'm just a normal person, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really affect anything. If I was doing hardcore porn, I imagine that would probably affect something.
Yeah.
But since I did just the B-movies, and it's not real sex, then, you know, most men don't have a problem with it.
And do you generally date people who are in entertainment in one form or another, or are you dating fine?
Yeah, it kind of works that, you know, I do entertainment people pretty much, because it's almost like a time schedule. In entertainment, you're working whatever hours you want to work. There's no 9-to-5 commitment, which is the life that I lead. So to date some guy in a 9-to-5 commitment when I'm working till 4 a.m. on the computer or on a movie set doesn't work out too well in the end.
I can see that. Oh, I've got to say, a couple of shows ago, Angela Malini told an excellent story about being picked up by Robert De Niro, and his particular style of come on at the time, which was really really, it wasn't the slickest thing I've ever heard. Do you have any good celebrity stories? Because I'm sure, I mean, I know that you...
I have one good one. I was raised in Florida, right?
Uh-huh.
And there was this little bar I used to hang at called the Treehouse. And at the Treehouse was a group, this, you know, rock and roll band called The Kids,
okay,
who I adore. They were just, I was just such a little groupie for these guys.
Okay.
Well, one of the guitar players, I ended up... I wouldn't use the word date, although it ended that way.
Okay.
And we became, you know, good friends during that period of time that we would drink Jack Daniels together and smoke cigarettes. Well, that cute boy that I had, you know, a few dates with ended up becoming extremely famous.
Go
he
on.
Just did a pirate. He just did a pirate movie.
Oh, wow.
I still have his 45 from when he was in the band. I know.
Oh,
someday when he you know, dies of old age, I'll make a fortune off this 45 record that I have of his. It was the only one produced.
Well, he's cool, and this is I don't mean to get too personal here, but I have to ask this question because everyone listening is going to be asking me the same thing. Is he good in bed?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This little guy, I mean, he was... Yeah, I think he was underage, but I think I was probably 18 and he was probably 17. I mean, in Florida, nobody cared how old you were to drink and work in bars. But he was just, oh my God, he was like a big stripper guy. All the little strippers just, we were groupies for this kid. He was, I mean, Johnny Depp was beautiful back then. Now he's handsome, but back then he was just... He was like the Teen B magazine. He was that handsome.
Yeah, I remember so. 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, how cute was he? Oh my God. Oh my God. That's my you know, my homage to successful celebrities. That's it. Johnny Depp.
But were you I think you subtly skirted the question there. You said how beautiful he was. I said how was he good in bed?
Yes, he was amazing in bed. He was the sexiest thing. He was the first man I'd ever slept with that actually shaved himself.
You mean shaved somewhere other than his face?
Exactly. Exactly. I was just like, oh my God, you are so unbelievably ahead of your time. Who would have thought after that, you know, dating porn stars and guys like that, because that's what they do, they shave everything. And it's just like, oh, I had this in the 80s. This is old news.
You know, and I got to say, as someone who's kind of knocked around the adult industry for a while, that still defeats me. I cannot see. Maybe I'm biologically different to the men who are doing this, but to me, there is no there's no way you could shave your balls. It just would not work.
Oh yeah, it's easy.
Well,
no, it's easy.
You sound.
I'll help you. I'll help you show you how to do it one day. Okay.
On that note, well, I have to go and buy a plane ticket right now because I'm on the East Coast and you're over there. So,
okay.
You know, people will see my carry-on luggage. It'll just be Bic. It'll just be like razor after razor after razor. But,
well, Sam, it was great talking to you.
It was a real pleasure. Thank you so much, and thank you not for crashing, especially. It's, as I said, it's a pleasure. I know more about Johnny Depp's balls than I ever thought I would. And that's a mind expanding piece of information. And, I know that everyone is going to go and check out your website, which is NikkiFritz.com.
NikkiFritz.com.
And I will look forward to speaking to you again in not too distant future.
All right, Sam, I'll bring you some of my beautiful girls. You can talk to them.
You do that. Okay.
All right, Sam, you take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's it for Podnography Show 4. Thanks for listening. You made it. You can now leave comments for the show by phone at 310-933-5993 or by email at podnography@gmail.com. It's come to my attention that podnography is a hard word to spell, so for the sake of anyone having difficulty, it is podnography. That's podnography. I've been seeing some pretty strange attempts at that. Be sure to visit fleshbot.com for daily sex news and sugarbank.com for as much of me as you can handle. Get next week's show and all the old ones at podnography.com. And once again, thanks for listening.